Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1965. The topic is trainer education, and the title is Why Runners Need to Strength Train. One of my clients was telling me that they had a client who was disagreeing with them about the importance of strength training for runners. So my client, who is a personal trainer, actually over half of my clients are personal trainers. So their client had recently picked up running. My client said, hey, if you're going to start running, we need to do a couple things to kind of take care of your feet, take care of your ankles, make sure that we can account for the demand of running. That person then said that they disagreed. They're like, what do you mean? Why do I have to strength train? Like, our bodies are built to run. I'll be fine. So my client was like, sure, but if you're just picking up running, you know, in your late 20s, early 30s, and you have a relatively sedentary lifestyle, the body has the capacity to manage the impact and stress of running, but it doesn't actually have the ability to do so yet. So we were talking about this as commonly when people want to lose body fat, they will sometimes you'll have a camp of people or a group of people who say, you know, oh, I want to lose body fat so that way I can see my muscles and have more muscle tone. But they've never lifted weights a day in their life. And you're like, what muscle tone are you talking about? You haven't built any muscle. So just because you lose fat doesn't mean that there's a significant amount of muscle underneath there. Another group is females usually, when they want to get leaner so they can have a better looking glutes, like better looking glutes. And they'll say, oh, you know, I want to lose weight. That way I can have a nice round, you know, booty. And it's like, well, you have to earn that. Like, you have to build that. That doesn't even exist yet. You have to build muscle to then be able to see the muscle. So just getting the fat off is only part of the equation. The other part would be building the muscle so that way you can actually see it once the fat is off. So this person was saying that the act of running alone, as they would do the running, as they would do their program, as they would build up over time, that would, in a sense, strengthen their body enough. So they didn't need to add extra activities. The act of running and building up volume through a program would be its own way of managing this process. So I wanted to touch on this. So that way, anyone who was thinking about this or if any trainers had any clients that were running, you could kind of learn a little bit about the concept behind why we were strength training for running. So that way you can make an easier argument for you and or you'd have a good idea of what to do to help your client. So in general, when we run, we absorb about 4 to 5 times our body weight. So when we run and we plant our foot into the ground, as our foot is hitting into the ground, we're absorbing 4 to 5 times our body weight. And again, remember, that's on one leg. So 4 to 5 times your body weight. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you're absorbing 600 to 750 pounds of force through that one limb. Then when we have to generate force to propel ourselves for the next step, we actually have to generate a force of roughly about 2 times our body weight. So we absorb about 4 times our body weight and then have to return and generate 2 times our body weight through that singular limb. And we have to do that over and over and over and over and over. So you can think about this as a goofy way to think of it, just to put it into some perspective, is if you're doing a single weight calf raise, single leg calf raise. Single leg calf raise, just going to put your foot on a 2x4 or something, you know, an aerobic step in the gym. You're going to do a calf raise of your body weight. Now, put on a weighted vest and a backpack and double your weight. And then do a single leg calf raise. That's essentially the force that you're trying to create every single step. That's a lot of force, right? If you think about doubling your body weight and doing a single leg calf raise, that sounds like a lot. And that's what we have to do each step. So step by step by step by step by step. The tissues of the hip, the knee, the ankle, and the foot, they certainly have the capacity to properly manage those type of forces. But as with any ability of our body, if we want it to perform in a certain way, it has to be developed over time. If I want to improve my vertical max, like vertical jump, I would have to train my vertical jump. I'm not going to just out of nowhere do a vertical jump and be at 100% capacity of what my body is totally capable of, right? You would have to train that skill set to eventually get better and really be able to peak your ability. Just like, you know, bench press, squat, deadlift, playing the guitar, really any skill, the first time you ever do it, you're not at the full capacity of what the body is capable of. So this means that if somebody's running and they do it recreationally, meaning they haven't been doing it for multiple years or multiple decades, it's not this everyday activity like a collegiate runner or professional runner or somebody who plays soccer where they're running, you know, a gajillion miles every day for every day of every week of every year. If it's something that we're having to work up to, then the tissues have to be strengthened. It fits the theme of if you haven't been using it, you don't have it. So people who wanted to have muscle when they get leaner to be able to see the muscle, if you haven't been building the muscle, then you don't have the muscle. We have to build the ability of these tissues to manage those forces. We also have to build that ability at the rate in which we can manage it, meaning through proper nutrition and rest. We know that when we go to the gym and we work out our muscles, we're actually damaging our muscles when we're in the gym. We're breaking them down. We're, in a sense, hurting them. Then when we go eat and we rest, our body will repair the damage that we did and actually put more tissue on. So it'll reinforce the tissue. So it's harder to get it that damaged again, which is why we then have to progress in reps or weight or volume. We have to consistently progress the intensity and challenge of our training in order to consistently create the damage that our body will consistently try to rebuild upon. So when we think of running, is the activity of running itself actually tears the body down. Think about, again, you're absorbing four times your body weight, generating a force of two times your body weight every single step, step by step by step by step. Think about that. If you were to just jump up and down, you know, for a 40 minutes or 30 minutes, however long you run, that's exhausting. That's tiring. Your calves are going to be sore. Your feet are going to be sore. Your ankles are going to be sore. Your hips are going to be stiff. Lower back is going to be sore. All of this soreness, all of this wear and tear, this damage needs to be repaired. It can only be repaired at the rate of which our nutrition and our rest support. So when we run, that stimulus that we want that actually creates damage has to be balanced with the capacity that we have through nutrition and rest in order to rebuild that damage, repair that damage, and build upon it, actually like be strengthened above that damage. Every time we run, we're creating damage that we hope that we're running equal to, if not slightly below, our body's ability to recover from that damage. So if our running is consistent, if every time I run, say I'm running three times a week at 3 miles each time, that is a consistent damaging stimulus. What happens if we're not consistent with our rest? We're not consistent with our nutrition, not consistent with our hydration. If we're not consistent with the ways in which our body recovers from that stress, we can start to accumulate micro damages. That's where people get plantar fasciitis. They get shin splints. They get like annoyances in their hip, their knee, their ankle, like a toe. Something at the base of a toe starts hurting and it won't seem to go away. The reason is we've slowly accumulated damage forces greater than our ability to recover from those forces. This is why it's important when somebody takes on running that they pay attention to the consistency of calories and protein and rest. We have to properly manage it. So if they get a couple nights of crappy sleep, they might need to reduce their running volume later in the week. If they have a couple of days where they missed meals or they're under protein, they need to adjust their running volume. People tend not to do that, though. They tend to keep their training intensity and volume the exact same, even if they haven't been sleeping right or training right, eating right. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, I missed a couple of days. It was low my protein, but, you know, I powered through and I got a good workout in. Ugh, I don't know. You may have been able to get through that workout, but again, you've created damage greater than your recovery capacity. So the next workout, the next workout, the next workout, you start to accumulate micro damages greater and greater and greater and greater than your recovery. Therefore, you start to develop acute little annoyances that then turn into chronic annoyances. So often we can push through an underfed or underrested workout, but that's not the problem. Like, that's not the one that we should be concerned with. It's after that. So at that workout, even though you were underfed, underrested, you were able to perform it, meaning you created damage now. And that damage, if the undernutrition, under recovery continues, that damage will start to surpass the amount that you can recover from, and you start to get small annoyances and aches and pains. The benefit of strength training and doing therapies is it creates more capacity, more margin for us to have a strengthening stimulus and a recovery capacity. So I can, through therapies of the foot, the calf, the hip, and posture, I can actually improve my body's recovery by being really hyper-focused into where I want the tissues to be stretched, where I want the blood flow to go with the good proteins that I'm having, hopefully. I can improve the efficiency of my recovery. With strength training, we can be more pinpointed with where we create the stimulus for change. So where we create the damage can be more pinpointed and localized to known weaknesses. So for example, therapies. I just wrote out some therapies for a client who's a runner. I wrote out calf and foot therapies that I want them to do 2 to 3 times per week, and then also hip and postural therapies that I want them to do 1 to 2 times per week. The foot and calf care is to help make sure that the tissues in those areas don't stay chronically tight after each running session. It allows us to, in an unloaded fashion, with a reduced degree of challenge, we can actually get into those tissues, we can start to open them up, start to promote contraction, relaxation, and actually open up those tissues, so that way they're fully released, fully recovered by the next running session. Rather than them being slightly behind, feeling slightly tight, but the person runs again. They're slightly behind in recovery, they're slightly tight, the person runs again, then all of a sudden they get plantar fasciitis. So the therapies we're doing is, there's a couple. One is a sitting arch stretch with a towel. I just made them all with a towel, so it's nice and easy for the person. Is you basically are going to sit on one end of a towel. So sit on one end of a towel. You're going to have the towel go down the length of your leg. It's going to come up over your foot, and then you're going to hold the other end. So you think of the towel going from your, like you're sitting on your butt. It's going down the length of your leg, up over your foot, over the top of your foot, and then you're holding it back at, like, say, around your knee or mid-thigh. So it's stretching the foot. It's going to stretch your toes back. So your toe, your big toe especially, is going to be stretched, which is pulling through the arch of your foot. That's going to help to stretch the musculature of the arch of the foot. Now we're going to pull a stretch for 5 count. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We then release that, and you can actually contract the foot. And then we pull again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We release, and then you contract the foot. By doing this, you're promoting relaxation of tightened tissues. You're doing a neurological, essentially, like a I don't know what the proper word is, but it's like a protocol to get the brain to release those tissues. The brain will sometimes tighten a tissue to create protection, but then it forgets to release the damn thing. So by doing this type of therapy where we do a stretch force followed by a unweighted contraction, you're actually promoting the tissue to the brain and the nervous system to relax that tissue. So you can do that on each leg. Then we have a calf stretch where you're going to hold each end of the towel. Then the middle of the towel just goes over the balls of your feet. And then you're just going to pull on that again, five count with a contraction in between. Then we have sitting calf raises with a towel. And you can do that where you actually like contract into the resistance on the towel. And then you release. Then you contract into the resistance. So rather than a weighted or a forced stretch, you're doing a resisted contraction. So again, you're going back and forth with this stuff, and this releases the neurological tightness, the protective tightnesses that we have. Then we're going to do a toe scrunch with the towel, and you can look this up on YouTube, followed by a standing calf raise where we actually stand on the towel. And you go back and forth between the toe scrunch and the calf raise, toe scrunch and the calf raise. So that whole routine, like less than 10 minutes, it's actually a very quick routine. So let's say just 10 minutes. And you do that two, maybe three times a week. And what that does is it promotes the tissues to release their tension after each run. And it'll increase blood flow with hopefully good proteins if you're eating good proteins. And it helps to strengthen those tissues as well. So you're getting a release of accumulated tension, you're getting increased blood flow, and you're getting strengthening in those therapies. So that is an example of what we do for calf and foot therapy, 2 to 3 times per week, 10 minutes, that's it. Hip and posture work, we're going to do some stretches for the glute muscles, especially the internal glute muscles. We're going to do stretches for the adductors and the hip flexors. That's a quick little routine that can be done in like 6 minutes. Then we have some 90-90 drills, which is for hip mobility, and it helps to, again, open up the tissues around the hips, but also to strengthen them. And we have, for example, a 90-90 into hip thrust. The act of the hip thrust, if you want to look that up, it's on YouTube as well, 90-90 hip thrust, is the hip thrust, you get a full contraction of the glute, which actually promotes the extension and release of the hip flexor on the opposing side of the joint. So we do 90-90 into tall squat, 90-90 into hip flex, and we also do 90-90 into like a pigeon pose stretch, which really helps to open up all those tissues. So this is going to ensure that as we're running, if our musculature of our hips start locking down and tightening down to the running position, that can eventually start to cause chronic tightnesses that when you try to sit at a desk, you all of a sudden have, you know, a tight lower back, your lower back's kind of annoyed. Maybe you're trying to, maybe your left leg or right leg starts to go numb because you're having sciatic nerve impingement. So this helps to open up and prevent all of those things from happening. And then we have some postural drills. We'll do some thoracic rotational drills, thoracic stretch, and then even like a YTW on the floor to help activate and strengthen the middle and low traps and the rhomboids, just to kind of counter some of the internal forward rotation of the shoulders that people tend to have when they run. And that whole routine is probably 20 minutes. So we have a 10-minute routine for the foot and the calf that we do 2 to 3 times a week, and then a 20-minute routine for the hip and posture we do 1 to 2 times per week. Adding that into the running makes an enormous, enormous difference because they have found, like they've done studies. There was one study, for example, where they had a control group who did foot and ankle therapies twice per week, and then a non-control group where they said do whatever you normally do, and they tracked these people for a year, and what they found was the people who were allowed to do whatever they needed to do, they would do it the way typically people would do, is they do rehab. So when something would be annoyed, they would start to do some therapies, they'd fix it, and then they'd go back to regular life. And they would try to track the times in which something felt annoyed, the rate of quote-unquote injury rate. And that would be acute annoyances. Then the control group, they were doing prehab. They were strengthening ahead of injuries. And what they found was that there was a 20% injury reduction in the group that did the prehab versus the rehab. So the group that proactively did therapies ahead of time had a 20% injury reduction, and that was only doing it two times per week and only foot and ankle therapies, meaning they weren't even doing the hip, they weren't doing the posture. So there's a lot more that you could be doing, which would create an even greater percentage of injury reduction. But then also what that doesn't, like what if what it doesn't highlight is there's also an improved performance. So say you spend 20% of your time injured. You're missing that much time making progress. Then say, out of all the prehab work you're doing, your capacity to manage more is increasing. Therefore, you can progress the volume and intensity of your training greater. Well, you're going to make even greater progress there as well. So you're making greater progress by not losing time to injury, and you're making greater progress by increasing the capacity of performance that you can manage. So strength training and preventative therapies absolutely help runners not only to be less injured, but to be able to progress faster. It's extremely important and extremely helpful because running, although it can be a natural activity of the body, it still does have a deteriorating type force to it, type of nature, where if you're not eating properly, if you're not resting properly, if you're not doing these kind of therapies, if you're not doing the strengthening, then you're really running the risk of just slowly breaking the body down. This is why a lot of runners who don't regularly participate in strength training, they tend to have repeated injuries. They'll roll their ankle once, then all of a sudden that becomes two, three, four times, then a break. They'll have something wrong with the base of one of their toes, and like it just doesn't seem to be getting any better. Then they go on a vacation, they get a little extra food some weekend, they take an extra rest, they missed one workout. All of a sudden they get that micro release of rest, and they get a little bit of extra food. They feel good for a week or two, but then it comes right back. There's just that super chronic, super annoying, super repetitive issue that keeps coming back and keeps coming back. So it's important for runners to strength train, because not only do you're going to feel better because you're going to have less injuries to deal with. You're going to feel better because you get to make progress faster, and you're going to feel better just because it helps everything in the entire process go smoother and more efficiently. So I definitely recommend all the people I work with for running. So I do help people for running. I help people do, tactical athlete type stuff, which involves running. I work with first responders. One of the ladies I work with is a two-time world firefighting champion that deals with, that's like some running involved in that, and you'd have to take care of ankle foot therapies and things. I help people with long distance running, marathons, even ultra marathons and stuff. I have a running certification, so I definitely don't look like a runner, but I do help people with running. And for all of the people I work with, I help manage their nutrition. I help talk with them about rest and recovery, and we help do therapies and strength training specific to their individual ability and their individual needs. So I thought this was helpful to share in that we can give some examples of the type of therapies that I have my clients do. As for like strength training, we tend to have that be one or two times per week. You can do it at home. You don't have to go to a gym. But there are benefits to having weighted resistance. Mostly what we do at the beginning of the workout is some type of opening up of any tight musculature associated with the hips and the shoulders. And then we do a little bit of core drills, like a little bit of core strength. And then we would go into the main lift of the day, which if we have access to weights, we would do a weighted activity, such as any variation of squat. It can be a barbell squat, it can be a safety squat bar, it can be camber bar squats, we can do regular squats, we can do pause squats, we can do box squats, but we also do deadlifts as well, and that can be barbell deadlift, trap bar deadlift. We would do typically some type of compound multi-joint movement. We're going to do a lower body every workout, whether it's a squat or deadlift, and I will throw in an overhead press and alternate that with a back pull or pull, like row or pull up or pull down. The overhead press helps with thoracic health, shoulder health, and also postural stability and bracing. And then the pulling movements, whether it's a pull-up, pull-down, or row, helps again with postural strength. So we'll do some type of upper body work in that capacity as well. So we do some kind of movement prep. If you want to listen to a podcast 1112, you can go to an older podcast by accessing that via our website, www.brutalirongym.com. Under the podcast player we have on the homepage are instructions on how to find older podcasts. But podcast 1112 will talk to you about how to structure the warm-up. And then the strength movements of the day is either going to be a squat or a deadlift paired with either an overhead press or a pull muscle activity, whether that's pull-up, pull-down, or row. Then we would go into our accessories. And the accessories are usually lightly weighted or body weight. And it's more isolated to singular positions like hinges, knee bends. So think of lunges, step-ups, stiff leg deadlifts, RDLs, things like that. We're trying to promote the body to move through ranges of motion that are a little exaggerated, greater than the ranges of motion we need for running. And we want to do that under weighted load, whether that's body weight or extra weight. And the reason why is that it helps to strengthen the tissue at a capacity greater than what we're going to use it. We want to strengthen the tissue in a range of motion greater than what we need and at a weight load greater than what we need. So this does not mean that we have to be able to squat or deadlift 4 to 5 times our body weight in order to really truly absorb the forces of running, or we have to be able to squat or deadlift 2 times our body weight to absorb, to create the generative forces of running. But we do want to be able to manage more than just our body weight. The more than just our body weight we can get, the less and less our body weight becomes kind of defeating and damaging to us. One of the best ways to get stronger is to just be able to lift more than just yourself, and then all of a sudden yourself becomes easier and easier and lighter, right? So that would be the idea of strength training, is moving through range of motion a little greater than what we need for our sport, under weight loads a little greater than what we need for our sport, and that then helps to make sure that we have the capacity to manage the forces that are generated within the sport. So there's a little bit of an idea of the strength training. And again, we do that 1 to 2 times per week, whether it's at home or at a gym. Then we have the therapies that we mix in. And since they're 10 to 20 minutes, they can be mixed in right after running, before running, anything like that. So it sounds possibly like a lot, but it really isn't once you get into the regular routine of this. And the majority of people I work with for running, they want to be good at it. So they're willing to devote the extra 10 minutes beyond just the running itself here and there as needed. Doesn't mean you can't, it's just basically if you don't want to take the time to do anything other than just the runs themselves, you're going to slowly be very disappointed because you're going to max out your capacity. You're not going to progress very well and you're going to start getting hurt. So if I want the ability to run, I have to kind of earn that by doing the extra therapies and doing the extra work on top of that. So good information here, hopefully. Hopefully it helped generate some ideas on what to do and reinforce the need for runners to strength train. Awesome. If you need anything, shoot me a message on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. You can go to the bottom of the homepage. There's a contact form right there. You can send me any questions, any notes you have. I appreciate everybody listening to the podcast, and I really hope that you get what you want from the podcast. So if you have any requests, any questions, any needs, just let me know. If you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name of Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.